Good morning. It is 9:07 a.m. I will call the Dallas City Council briefing meeting to order, and I'd ask all of our City Council members to grab their seats. I will introduce our invocator this morning, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance led by Councilman Griggs. We have the honor today to have our new bishop from the Roman Catholic Diocese of Dallas here, been here for 8 months. As many of you know, Bishop Farrell was called to Rome and was ordained as a cardinal recently, and so we're proud. Out of Dallas comes great things, and what comes to Dallas is great. In his backfill, Bishop Edward Burns has been an immediate hit in the Dallas area and a tremendous impact. I want to introduce you to him. He was born in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and received his Bachelor's of Arts in Philosophy and Sociology from Duquesne, and a Master of Divinity degree and Master of Theology degree from St. Mary's Seminary in Maryland. He was ordained a priest for the Diocese of Pittsburgh in 1983 and bishop at St. Paul's Cathedral in Pittsburgh in March of 2009. He was installed as bishop in the Diocese of Juneau, Alaska in 2009. And on December 13, 2016, Pope Francis moved him to a warmer clime and appointed him to be the 8th bishop of the Diocese of Dallas, Texas. He was installed as bishop at the Cathedral Shrine of the Virgin of Guadalupe and on February 9, 2017. For his motto, Bishop Burns has chosen the familiar words from Apostle John, pray with confidence. So he will pray now. All rise.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, for that warm welcome. Good morning, everyone. In his presence we pray. Good and gracious God, Heavenly Father, we turn to you asking your blessing upon those elected to lead our community. Bless the members of this city council with your spirit of wisdom and right judgment so that they may bring forth the policies and procedures, the laws and legislation which seek to build up the common good of our society and our community. We ask, too, that you bless those who have been affected by the recent hurricanes here in Texas and in Florida. We are also mindful of our brothers and sisters in Puerto Rico and Mexico who are facing the effects of natural disaster. Lord, let them know your love and consolation during this time, and may our resolve to help them be an illustration of your love for us. We ask all this in your holy name. Amen.
Thank you, Bishop, and you always have a friend here at City Hall. I am so glad you prayed for those that are undergoing terrific natural disasters right now. Last night I spoke to the Consul General of Mexico, and I gave him our warmest wishes on behalf of the city of Dallas and its citizens. He said it was a horrific sight with dozens and dozens of buildings that had fallen, and they were trying to pull out those that are still alive and those that were buried and died in that earthquake. And so I told him we were here to serve, and we have a great relationship with the Consul General, the country of Mexico, and all of our citizens of Mexican-American heritage. God bless them. With that, Mr. Thomas got a quick announcement.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, colleagues, recognizing me. I would like to take a moment to discuss the beginning of open enrollment. Open enrollment for health insurance begins November 1st, 2017, ends on December 15, 2017. This is a shorter time frame than the enrollment period in prior years. The North Texas Healthcare Coalition has been instrumental in getting the word out to the community about the importance of enrolling in a healthcare plan. The coalition's efforts are being led by Dallas County Judge Clay Jenkins. City of Dallas is proud to be a partner of this coalition, which also includes HHS, community partners, elected officials, healthcare providers, and stakeholders throughout North Texas. Last year, the coalition was able to start a website. EnrollNorthTexas.org provides visitors with assistance, including interactive maps that depict enrollment assistance locations, a count of events, the enrollment application checklist, and a list of coalition members. Residents can enroll in healthcare coverage online, by phone, with in-person help, and by mail. As you all are aware, Congress and the administration are still debating potential changes to the Affordable Care Act. However, the tax penalty is still in effect for those who do not have health insurance, and it's critical that all of our residents have access to health care. If you don't have health care, it can lead to death. Please help get the word out to your constituents about open enrollment. If you have community events and would like to help spread the word, we will provide copies of the flyers and other materials for you to distribute. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Thomas. Thank you for leading our effort and being chair of our Human Services Committee.
You're welcome.
Mr. Felder has a proclamation he'd like to read at this point.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
September is National Recovery Month. And National Recovery Month deals with drug addiction as well as mental health. And I'm proud to and honored to honor one of South Dallas's finest. Here's the proclamation. Whereas National Recovery Month is a national observance to educate Americans about addiction, treatment, and mental health services. While encouraging those with a mental health or substance use disorder to live a healthy, rewarding life. And whereas Recovery Month confirms that mental health and wellness are essential to overall health. There are treatments that have been proven to be effective. Prevention does work, and people can and do recover. And whereas now in its 28th consecutive year, the month of September has become a time of celebration for many prevention, treatment, recovery programs and services. These organizations share their research with neighbors, friends, and colleagues to inform and educate the public about recovery. And whereas there are millions of Americans who have lives that have been transformed through recovery. These success stories often go unnoticed by a broader population. Thus, Recovery Month provides a medium to celebrate such accomplishments. We encourage relatives, friends of people with mental health, substance use disorders to recognize the beginning signs of this ailment, implement preventative measures, and guide those in need to appropriate treatment and recovery support services. Now, therefore, I, Kevin Felder, and Mike Rollins, Mayor of the City of Dallas, on behalf of the Dallas City Council, do hereby proclaim the month of September 2017 as National Recovery Month. I am proud and honored to present this to one that I know as a personal friend and a warrior in this effort. One Joe Powell has been on the front lines. Where there was no recovery, where there was no drug treatment center in South Dallas, and there was no way forward, Joe Powell stepped forward. And so I'd like to have Joe Powell to come forward. He has been a beacon of hope for those who did not have hope, and I'd like him to have a few words, and then we'll take pictures.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Councilman Felder, Mayor Rollins, City Councilman. Some of y'all might be familiar with me. I am a person in long-term recovery. What that means is that I haven't had a drink of alcohol in 28 years. It's only because of long-term recovery that I'm able to be a father today, a husband today, servant leader, lifelong learner, licensed chemical dependency counselor, and the president and CEO of APA, the Association of Persons Affected by Addiction, here in Dallas for 19 years. I do have the president of our board of directors for the association, and we want to make sure that we give him a couple of words too. Some of y'all know.
Again, thank you. We will be very brief. Thanks to the mayor. Thanks, council members. Councilmember Felder. It really is my honor to serve as board president of the Persons Affected by Addiction. And just a couple of quick notes. Addiction comes in many forms, not just drug addiction. The people we serve and on our board, we have people who had gambling addictions, where there are numerous types of addictions. So this organization is 19 years old. And recently, Councilmember Felder, we had a delegation in from the state of Alabama who are attempting to replicate this. They said they learned more sitting in the lobby at the Association of Persons Affected by Addiction than they did in meetings they go to, just watching how we interact with people. Thank you all very much for the recognition.
So before you guys go, we want to take some pictures, but what I want to say is that, you know, South Dallas Fair Park has the highest number of drug addicts in the city of Dallas. And I'd like to thank Joe Powell one more time for stepping up where there was no one else that was willing. Mr. Powell stepped up and took on that charge. And so I really appreciate him for that. Would everyone give him a round of applause, please? Mr. Powell, if you would come forward, I'll take a picture with you, and I'd ask my colleagues to come as well.
Good morning, colleagues. We have another opportunity. I think everybody...
Yeah, let me just introduce you first. I've asked Mr. McGue, as chairman of public safety, to make this important special recognition because we have a key passing of some car keys, and I thought we should recognize it. Thank you for serving as chairman, Mr. McGue.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, we are all aware of our new police chief, Chief Hall, that has recently come to us, and we're thankful for her taking on this new assignment. But want to make this morning take the opportunity as a collective group to thank our interim chief, Chief David Pughes, for his service during this interesting, difficult, and in many ways productive time. And so we have a special recognition, and I will read the whereases this morning. So whereas during the period of October 6, 2016 through September 4, 2017, Executive Assistant Chief David R. Pughes served with honor and distinction as the Interim Chief of Police. And whereas serving the Dallas Police Department for 26 years, Executive Assistant Chief David R. Pughes recognizes the importance of public safety to every person who comes to work, live, or play in this city, and how it is achieved through the extraordinary efforts of the Dallas Police Department. And whereas his unwavering commitment and professionalism have helped the city overcome some of the most monumental challenges in the history of the Dallas Police Department and serves as a sterling example of the men and women on the force. And whereas he demonstrates outstanding leadership, tenacity, and unwavering passion for service that allows the department to continue its focus on reducing crime while elevating its community-oriented policing practices. And whereas the City of Dallas expresses its profound appreciation and gratitude for the dedication demonstrated by Executive Assistant Chief David R. Pughes and his efforts to enhance the quality of life in the City of Dallas and make it a safer place for us all. Now, therefore, on behalf of Mike Rawlings, Mayor of the City of Dallas, and our entire Dallas City Council, on Wednesday, September 20th, 2017, do hereby extend special recognition to Executive Assistant Chief David R. Pughes.
It was quite an adventure. But, you know, as Councilmember Magoo stated, it was a very, very difficult trying time for the city and the police department. And so I wish I could have had the experience of leading the department under different circumstances than what I was called to do. But I did it, and I'm pleased to be able to help Chief Hall transition into the role now. So thank you, everyone, for your support, because it wasn't me leading the department. It was all of us working together to make sure that the city moved in the direction we wanted it to go. So thank you all. I really appreciate your support. Thanks.
Thank you. Mr. Kleinman.
Thank you, Mayor. I just wanted to also personally thank Chief Hall for all the work he did. Thank Chief Hall for coming to the city, and thank Chief Pughes. It's always a challenge, especially as an interim, and a lot of those challenges are financial. I think you managed your part of the budget well, and really showed the citizens how we can have an effective department. How we can deploy resources when resources are short, and how we can get officers into patrol where they need to be so that they can continue to fight crime in the city. So thank you very much for your hard work. You can look at the stats, despite the fact that our sworn force is considerably down, our crime rate has not gone up. So thank you very much for your hard work, and also thank you for your work to transition to Chief Hall.
Thank you, Mr. Kleinman. I am blown away about how well you did the job, Chief. It is so hard to be strong and humble at the same time, and your persona has demonstrated what real leadership is and what real servant leadership is. You did it for the city, you didn't do it for yourself, and you did it the right way. And you're an example for all of us. So I just want to say thank you personally at that time. With that, we'll take our open microphone speakers. Before we do, there's one individual that was at our rescue center at the Mega Center at the Convention Center. What? Stand up.
Russ.
Oh, Russ. Okay.
I did the sloppy but sincere handwritten letter last week.
Yeah.
That y'all got. I just want to say thanks. I've appeared in front of so many different mayors. Madam Mayor Annette Strauss was the first, and my family's done a lot with the city for decades, as well as myself. But I just want to tell all of y'all thank you. The shelter closes today to a very small one. This can finally come off, and I'm ready to go to work.
Great.
Lifelong citizen of Dallas, Houston is a disaster. Pray for Mayor Sylvester Turner.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I will be having a press conference at noon where Rocky and I will be telling thanks, Russ. Appreciate
thank
you.
All of
y'all. We'll be kind of summarizing what's happened up to this point so the citizens will know all those details. With that, go ahead.
Good morning. Your first five registered speakers will be as follows: Denina Goodwin, Danny Augustus, Ann Quest, Dee Holly, and Jerry Christian. I'll recite the speaker guidelines. Speakers must observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the City Council. Any speaker making personal, impertinent, profane, or slanderous remarks, or who becomes boisterous while addressing the City Council shall be removed from the room. Individuals are allowed 3 minutes to speak. You'll notice the time on the monitor in front of you. When your time is up, please stop and address any comments to Mayor Rawlings. If you have any handouts, please go ahead and hand it to the officer to my right, as it will affect your speaking time. Your first speaker is Denina Goodwin.
Good morning to the Honorable Mayor Rawlings and to Pro Tem Mayor Dwayne Carraway and to my City Council servant of this fair city. My name is Reverend Denina Goodwin. And while I've had to appear before City Councils in the servitude of my life, for the first time I come before the City Council referencing the death of my 3-month-old grandson. I reside at 1121 Beachview Street. Those apartments are called the Trails of White Rock, and they are owned by the United Harvest Housing LLC. Before we even got to this point, we made attempts through letters and emails and a filing of several reports to the PUC, to the fire department, and the EEOC. The dilemma, as you see the pictures on the screen, is that emergency vehicles are not able to enter the complex. The last picture on the far right at the bottom shows you that the clearance states 6 feet and 10 inches. 3 months before, my 3-month-old grandson died. And let me say very clearly to all risk management persons gathered, we are in no way blaming the city of Dallas, and we're not even blaming the Trails of White Rock for what has happened. We're here out of love to put a fire under the love to enforce the law so that no one else has to go through this. 3 months before he died, I had a stroke living on the third floor where paramedics had to climb up 6 flights of stairs and then were going to take me back down 6 flights of stairs. However, neighbors intervened and took me by ambulance. Little did I know, 3 months later, while recovering from hip replacement surgery, that my grandson would have to be grabbed and running down a very long hallway. The first picture is the picture of the long hallway to run down. For those of you who are not familiar with where this apartment complex is, it is on the corner of Garland and Buckner. It sits catacomb to what used to be Doctor's Hospital, which is now Baylor Scott and White. Why we are here is because we asked the city to A, enforce the law, and secondly, to stop the retaliation going on against my family as a result of reporting this. Thank you.
Thank you.
Your next speaker, Danny Augustus. You may begin.
Sorry about your kid. Hard to follow up with that. Puts everything in perspective, but just looking at that clock. I prepared a speech, but I'm going to just go off the cuff. Probably not a good idea. I'm honored to be here in front of Mayor Mike Rawlings and council members. I have 6 properties. About plus or minus, I haven't counted them a lot in South Dallas. So I have a vested interest in the revitalization of South Dallas, and I'm a guy that invests in the future. I kind of shoot forward. I'm a, I I think we have a lot of opportunity there in South Dallas. However, I think code enforcement has kind of gotten ahead of itself. I don't know if everyone here probably has gotten sick. And the I think the wrong – when you administer the wrong medicine for a sickness, which in South Dallas is a lot of dumping, as we spoke with a lot of drug abuse earlier. Let's see. A little nervous. Minute 30. Anyways, I think that I cut my own lawns, which I use that to kind of talk to the people there in South Dallas. I don't know how many council members have been there to talk to the actual people that live in South Dallas. And I've been getting fines. That's what I'm here about. And the fines are being administered quicker than I can get cut my lawns. And it seems like my perception is that code has kind of gone out of their way to target me in that area. Although they've been kind of helpful in the 11th hour, so 37 seconds. Anyways, I had these 14 points on how to improve South Dallas, one of which is council members that are I think council members that are actually trying to represent South Dallas should have some vested interest in South Dallas instead of speaking, instead of living somewhere else and not being part of the community. And council members should be considered for council members that are living there and they're actually a part of the city. The part of the South Dallas should be considered for council. So.
Thank you.
Your next speaker, Ann Quest.
Good morning. Karl Marx, author of the Communistic Manifesto, said, "Take away the heritage of a people, and they are easily persuaded." What communists believed then are smacking us right in the face on our televisions with the news morning and evening. In 1963, the Communist Party USA published their intended 45 goals in order to take over America, and significantly were read into the congressional message record. The items on this list are shocking. A few of those goals are extremely apropos for today's meeting. Discourage teaching of American history. Discredit the founding fathers as selfish aristocrats who had no concern for the common man, and discredit the American Constitution by calling it inadequate and old-fashioned. You might be asking, why is this woman talking about totalitarianism and communism? Because the fact remains, when we remove our heritage and lessons of history, we are doomed to forget what they have been previously taught. Remember the famous quote, "If we don't know our history, we are most likely going to repeat it." This is not just about statues. Reading statues is the only tip of the iceberg. It's a step toward bringing down the republic. Taking our freedom of speech, not just our heritage, with the objective with a political system in which the state recognizes no limits to its authority and strives to regulate every aspect of public and private life wherever feasible. This seems to be what the city council is trying to ram through. The American public has believed the lies that their leaders who applauded the fall of communism while they sold out their country to anti-Christian, anti-statues and regulations, and now we are being tested whether our country is really becoming communistic or not. Most of the 45 points that I are available, and I sent most of them and had them handed out, if they are in fact that we're almost going communistic. My request to the council is put this situation in our city up for a vote and let us have that opportunity to help make the decision and not just the city council. Thank you.
Your next speaker, Dee Holly.
Mr. Mayor and Council, I'd like to ask you to kindly, for just 3 minutes, put your political agendas aside and listen with your head and with your heart. I want to ask you, in your heart of hearts, if you honestly believe that removing statues and changing street names and buildings, if that's the best use of taxpayers' monies, when you know that we have, I know, at least 450 plus police officers that have gone because of a drained pension plan. How about helping out a depleted Child Protective Services program? Because these little kids that are abused and are hurting can't get the help they need. We know that South Dallas is gang infested, and obviously we've heard today with drugs as well. We are number one in child poverty in the nation. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. And I think I speak for a lot of us here that making these kind of decisions behind a closed-door narrative of secret seclusions is troubling, and especially when a substantial majority of our Dallas citizens don't agree with this, and you guys know that. As we move forward, or as you guys move forward, I think I also speak for everyone when I say that all the documents, invoices, receipts that have incurred thus far, including police security, regarding the removal of the Lee Park statue, then we need to know that. We have the right. We're the taxpayers, just like you guys. Also, I can't believe that most of Dallas is going to vote for a bond after you guys have pulled a stunt like this. You've undermined the majority of Dallas on every level. I also believe that each of you should do your due diligence in your history research, rather than believing people that have a political agenda or have written up a one-sided book. These are not historians. And I would like to close by saying that I know personally, and I'm sure you guys do too, many people that have come from extremely abusive homes. And it's painful when they go back for holidays or for deaths or for births, anything like that. But they don't tear down their homes. And some of these people, their abuses are things we can never comprehend. We can't even imagine. I know a lot of these personally. But we don't tear down their homes and we don't burn down their homes. But what we do is we use that as an example to teach and train and mentor our children. Thank you.
Your final fifth speaker, Jerry Christian.
Good morning, Honorable Mayor, Deputy Pro Tem, Mr. Carraway, City Councilman. Thank you for serving the great city of Dallas. I'm here in reference to a parking violation that we're receiving in a cul-de-sac in Oak Cliff. I live at 1231 Holly Glen Place, and it's a round cul-de-sac. And code enforcement came out 2 weeks ago and issued citations to every car that was parked head in. And it's kind of a challenging circle if you were to park front to back on each car. It's kind of, you know, other cars won't be able to park. Service vehicles come in and park at times. There's no room for you to park in a circular manner, in which you have to, as the parking adjudication office, I went down there and they dismissed it. But if you were have to go around the flow of traffic, you would have to pass other cars that are already parked. And some of the neighbors have two and three cars. And it's five houses in that cul-de-sac, and it's kind of challenging to park in a circular manner, which tires 18 inches from the curb. And I was just asking if that ordinance could be either revised or looked at, you know, I would appreciate it. I'll submit my time to someone else. Thank you.
This concludes your morning speakers. We'll now move to your voting agenda. Agenda item 1 is approval of minutes of the September 6, 2017 City Council meeting.
We have a motion and second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item 2 is consideration of appointments to boards and commissions. This morning we do have full council, individual, and officer appointments for the 2017-19 board term. I need to read the item, the names into the record. The nominee for full council appointment to the Landmark Commission, alternate members, Diane L. Sherman is being nominated by Councilmember Griggs. Ms. Sherman meets the historic preservation special qualification. Nominees for individual appointments to the Cultural Arts Commission, Lori Stahl is being nominated by Councilmember Kleinman. Ms. Stahl meets the literary arts special qualification. To the Citizen Homeless Commission, Matthew Chase Headley is being nominated by Councilmember Clayton. Mr. Headley meets the general public special qualification. To the Dallas Citizens Police Review Board, Paul Healy is being nominated by Councilmember Kingston. To the Judicial Nominating Commission, Andreas Carrera is being nominated by Councilmember Callahan. To the Martin Luther King Jr. Community Center Board, Eddie Elaine Sachs is being nominated by Councilmember Griggs. And Althea Ann Harrington is being nominated by Councilmember Narvaez. To the South Dallas Fair Park Trust Fund Board, Callie M. Pruitt is being nominated by Councilmember Kingston. Ms. Pruitt meets the Housing Development and Community Development Principles and Practices Special Qualification. Your chair appointment, Sharon Fine is being nominated chair of the Senior Affairs Commission by Mayor Rawlings.
Mr. Callahan, motion. Second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried. All right. Take up these items this morning. We will move to item 6. We'll do item 6 through 8 to clean up any technical stuff. When we take up 3, 4, and 5, we won't ever need to come back and revisit them. So, Ms. Johnson, would you start with 6?
Thank you. Agenda item 6, an ordinance amending chapters 2, 6, 6A, 9A, 14, 17, 18, 41A, 49 of the Dallas City Code to 1, adjust the stormwater fees, 2, provide for fees as authorized by the Texas Alcoholic Beverage Code, 3, adjust license fees for coin-operated amusement devices at amusement centers. 4, adjust fees for billiard halls. 5, adjust dance hall fees. 6, adjust the fee for a sexually oriented business license. 7, adjust food service manager registration fees. 8, permit certain food trailers as mobile food preparation vehicles. 9, clarifying and providing requirements for temporary food establishments, 10, adjust fees for temporary food establishments, 11, adjust fees for plans review for a mobile food preparation vehicle, 12, adjust the reinspection fee for food establishments, 13, adjust inspection fees for mobile and fixed facility food establishments, 14, adjust various service fees for food establishments, 15, delete certain fees related to food establishments, 16, adjust fees for a food establishment variance and provide for a period of validity. 17, adjust fees for sanitation collection services. 18, adjust rates and charges for treated water service, wastewater service, wholesale water, and wastewater service to governmental entities, untreated water service, and fire hydrant usage. And 19, make certain conforming semantic, grammatical, and structural changes. Estimated revenue, $17,616,310.
Ms. Gates.
Move approval.
Second.
Motion is second. Any discussion? Ms. Gates. Ms. Kleinman.
Thank you, Mayor. I really object to the way this item folds in some simple ordinance changes with some significant fee increases on our citizens. I don't think it is appropriate for us to cloak taxation under water utility fees or sanitation fees or stormwater fees. Fees are taxing. This is draining money from our population. $17 million additional dollars, and then we lump it in with all these other minor administrative, there we go. Thank you for the help. Items. It just doesn't seem appropriate. And I can't vote for an item that's just going to just dump more fees on our citizens over and above the tax increase we're getting ready to lay on them. So this $17 million, probably not even necessary, but everybody's water bill is going to go up. Everybody's stormwater fee is going to go up. Everybody's sanitation fee is going to go up. Completely unnecessary in a hugely bloated city hall. Thank you.
Ms. Gates.
I had a question about the administrative changes. Aren't those in the other ordinances that we're about to approve, or are they incorporated in this ordinance, too, related to the fees?
There are changes in another item to different chapters in the code, but
right.
This is specific to fees that the city charges.
Right.
So we separate fees from the other types of
administrative. And the fees, we did a study, and they were cost recovery, and then except for the council decided there were some areas that we were willing to not either have full, that we were going to reduce to help our citizens out, and we were not going to have cost recovery. Is that correct? So there's ones that are going up that you determined required that for cost recovery.
That is correct. Each year we look at the water revenues, the sanitation revenues, and the stormwater revenues. We do
right.
that annually,
right.
and those have increased based on the cost of those services. We also do in compliance with our FMPC, we look at other fees every 4 years. We have a consultant that looks at those to ensure that we have full cost recovery. This year we looked at the police department and food inspection and code compliance. We recommended bringing those up to full cost recovery. Quality of life looked at some of the food inspection fees and made a decision not to go to full cost on those, and that has been incorporated.
Okay. Could you repeat the ones that are not going to full cost recovery that we decided was going to be beneficial either for economic reasons or that were helpful for our residents? I know it was food inspection. Why are we code compliance?
So I'm going to let Chris answer that.
Thanks.
Good morning. The ones that the Quality of Life Committee did not want to get full cost recovery on were the school concession stand fees to inspect those, the neighborhood markets that are set
right.
up in the various neighborhoods, and the temporary food permit fees. We did the blanket fee of offering one permit per five vendors at those events.
Right, so we could encourage those type of community events, right?
Yes, ma'am.
I mean, that was the discussion I remember.
Yes, ma'am.
And those are the only ones that, and we reduced those. We did not leave them at cost recovery.
Correct.
Okay. All right, I think those are my questions.
Thank you. Mr. Kleiman.
Thank you. I also really object to characterizing these increases in order to achieve cost recovery, when in reality a simple analysis of the operations would probably show there's more than ample room to reduce costs, and it just seems like we just keep adding and adding people and adding costs and then have cost recovery, which means we're just pushing those costs on to the citizens as opposed to actually looking for efficiencies within our government. And the cost of this government is just expanding just incredibly, intentionally, and I just object to that. It just doesn't seem like there's any effort to say maybe we shouldn't pass on a fee, maybe we should actually look to our costs and see if there are places we can find efficiencies in the government.
Thank you. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, one nay. Okay.
Noted. Agenda item 7, authorize 1, position changes, 2, approval of civilian salary schedules for fiscal year 2017-18, 3, merit pay increases for civilian staff effective January 3rd, 2018, and 4, increase the minimum civilian hiring rate to $10.94. 5, adding a 2% top step for each rank in the police and fire executive pay schedule. 6, deleting the bottom step from each rank in the police and fire executive pay schedule. And 7, increasing certification pay for police and fire executives.
Thank you, Ms. Gates.
Move approval.
Okay, thank you. Discussion, Mr. Felder.
Yes, I'd like to get some information with regard to certification on item number 7, please.
Go ahead, your question.
My question is, what type of certification? I need more detail than just certification. That's insufficient.
What does certification mean? Yeah, okay.
Chief Hughes is coming to the microphone to talk about certification pay in the police department.
There's different levels of certification. Basic, advanced, and master. So it depends on the amount of training that you've had, your years of service, those coupled together then allows you to achieve these various levels of certification as a police officer.
Okay. Again, that's general. Would you please give me detail? Define basic, define master. I need detail, please.
I will send you the actual criteria from the Texas Commission on Law Enforcement.
Okay, and the next part of the question is, how much of a pay increase are we talking about for these certifications? And what level of certification, let's say, for example, for master, what percentage is the increase for attaining the master level?
So currently, for intermediate and advanced, it's $200 a month. Under the new contract, it remains $200 a month for police officers and increases to $400 a month. So it goes from $200 to $400 if you have your advanced peace officer's license. And on the master peace officer license, it goes from $500 to $600 a month.
Okay. And are these internal courses that are taken? Or are they going to an academy? I'm trying to get more information, please.
Right. It goes back to the Texas Commission on Law Enforcement. So they set the standards for the licensing and what level of licensing. You can take courses through our in-service academy that will allow you to achieve those credit hours to then apply for those levels of certification. You can also go to outside training. The officers can pay for that themselves and go to various community colleges or outside training to obtain the necessary hours from the Commission on Law Enforcement. And then you make application, you pay a fee, and you then are issued that certification from the Texas Commission.
Okay, and if you wouldn't mind, whenever you get the detailed information, if you would please forward it to my office, I would appreciate that.
Will do.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kleinman.
Thank you, Mayor. I'd like to make a motion to separate the civilian increases from the sworn.
We have a second?
I guess not.
What?
Dwayne.
Did you second it or not? So there's a. He's separating something. All right. Okay. All right. Motion fails for lack of a second. Please.
Yeah, I do have some comments or some questions. With regards to the 2% top step, was that part of meet and confer?
Yes.
Okay. And then and deleting the bottom step was part of the meet and confer agreement. Okay. And then just with regards to certification pay that I know Mr. Felder is interested in, can officers work for the department if they're not certified?
No, they can't. They have to have a peace officer license from the licensing agency.
Okay. So how much certification pay at that first level, the minimum level that's required for them to work for the department?
Well,
how much in the budget is that amount? Do we know?
I don't understand your question.
My question is, there's a component of the budget that every officer is required to have at least the minimum certification, and then we have certification pay where we pay for them to have that. How much of the budget is paying for certification pay? And if it's overall, that's fine.
Yeah, and I don't know that it's broken down in that way. In the academy, you achieve the basic certification.
Right.
And then the other certifications are achieved independently.
No, I understand that. I guess the point I'm making is these officers are required to be certified to work for the department, right?
Correct.
And they get a salary for working for the department, right?
Correct.
But then we give them more money to have something that they're required to have as a job requirement.
So the incentives...
Certification pays are just beyond the basic.
There's three levels of certification, basic, intermediate, and master.
Okay.
The additional incentive pays then require the officers individually to meet the criteria of obtaining additional education, advanced training, and time on the department.
So do we give certification pay for basic?
There is no basic certification pay.
In both police and fire? Okay. All right. Thank you. So we're not paying them just to get their license?
No. I mean, we're paying them to get their license in the sense that we're paying them their salary to get the license.
We're paying their education costs, but they don't. Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Mr. Callahan.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. I wanted to underscore the 1094 is the current indexed MIT living wage rate. And since we are utilizing a two-year budget or a biennial budget process for planning purposes, what is the projected rate for the 2018-2019 fiscal budget for that MIT wage rate? Do you have any idea?
So MIT does their study annually, releases it in June. We have not budgeted beyond 1094 for the following year. However, we have a small amount in our salary reserve account should that go up again. So next June, when MIT releases their living wage, we will look at it for both the contracts as per the City Council policy and for this purpose, and would meet that MIT and deal with it as we come back to you next August and September for the annual budget.
Well, I certainly am on record for being in support of that indexed rate. I am concerned that inflation might carry away and that might be very ultra expensive for the city, so I want to really keep an eye on that. We may have to revisit that and cap it at some point. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Gates.
My question is related to what Mr. Callahan just asked. I asked this in the briefing, and I know we get a lot of memos, and maybe I just missed it. But I was under the impression that we had done this when we did the requirement for the contractors, and then I guess we determined that there were some people that weren't making 1094. So do you remember how many that actually was and what that impact was on the budget?
So you're speaking for contractors?
No.
No?
For our own employees.
For our own employees.
When we did that, we required this. Like, I didn't – and it sounds like Mr. Brodnick's found that we were not doing that.
That's right. So. The council – the policy that council adopted did not require it for employees, but we felt like we should conform.
So this is the first time we've done that.
That's absolutely correct.
So how many employees did that impact? Do you know?
It's impacting several hundred employees to the tune of about $600,000 in the general fund.
Okay, so this change is about a $600,000 change.
That's right, in the general fund.
And did we do a comparison of what those employees would be making in the private sector compared to, we're paying above market, like, for those employees? It's a choice
I'll
we're
turn
making.
To Molly Carroll in the back, our HR director.
The last total comp study we did was in 2012. So... that's the last time we compared ourselves to market. We do independent, like, onesie, twosies to the market, but a comprehensive total comp study was done in 2012. And I believe there's...
Okay, so we just made the choice. We didn't compare it to... Okay. All right, thanks.
Thank you. All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried. Item 8.
Agenda item 8
an ordinance, one, renaming the Department of Mobility and Street Services to the newly created Department of Public Works, two, renaming the Office of Financial Services to the Office of Budget, three, renaming the Department of Housing and Community Services to the Department of Housing and Neighborhood Revitalization, four, renaming the Office of Business Development and Procurement Services to the Office of Procurement Services, five, transferring certain functions from the Department of Mobility and Street Services to the newly created Department of Transportation, six, incorporating portions of Mobility and Street Services to the Department of Public Works, and seven, amending sections of the Dallas City Code related to transferring certain functions from Mobility and Street Services and the Dallas Police Department to the newly created Department of Transportation, effective October 1st, 2017. This item does require a three-fourths vote, meaning 12 votes for adoption.
Thank you. Ms. Gates.
Move approval.
Okay, we got a motion to second. Discussion, Mr. Kingston.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I was very interested to see this item. To me, it rationalizes what we're doing as a city. It's much more clear what the departments are intended to do. I think it aligns the names with the purposes and the responsibilities with the purposes. So I was pretty pleased to see this. I also note that it corrects some real bureaucratic spaghetti that we had in department naming beforehand. So appreciate it, Mr. Manager. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Grayson.
Why does this require a supermajority?
My understanding is that by City Charter, Chapter 10, Section 1, department name changes and creations of departments require the 12 votes.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Thank you. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Well, agenda item 3. Final reading and adoption of appropriation ordinance for the fiscal year 2017-18 City of Dallas operating, capital and grant, and trust budgets. This item requires a record vote.
Thank you. Ms. Gates.
Move approval.
Got a motion second. Discussion, Mr. Kleiman.
Just want to point out that once again, we will have the highest budget in the history of the City of Dallas with this, and I will not be voting in favor of it.
Thank you. With that, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Mr. Mayor.
Well, we have to do a record vote.
Yes.
And I have to read something else on the record.
Well, that's why I asked, everybody. Guys, Mr. Kingston first.
Okay.
Me first?
Yes, you're up first.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I forwarded you all budget amendments this morning. Could we have discussion of those?
The chair will introduce any amendment. Give us anything you got.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Amendment number one is move $500,000 out of the district office pilot into emergency home repair.
Got a motion and a second. Discussion, Mr. Kingston.
We've had plenty of discussion on this, Mr. Mayor. I simply don't see any utilization study, any metrics that would support adding this level of staffing, and I severely object to the larded facilities budget. $50,000 per office is well above market for the areas of town that we're looking at, and city facilities exist in these districts already. So I just think that it's a better use of funds. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Ms. Gates, on this item, on this amendment.
On this item, yeah, I could only, I would support it if it was going to tax reduction. Tax reduction.
Thank you. Let's make sure to do a record vote on this amendment.
Point of information. I thought we had struck that amendment down last time.
We did.
So the money's not allocated.
It is not. He's making an amendment to this budget on this once again.
But we never allocated $500,000 is my point. What, two budget savings?
It passed. It did. I'm sorry. I thought you said we
struck. On the office pilot? No, no, no. How did it pass? I'd made an amendment to change it. I thought they voted against that and the original motion is what my understanding was. If anyone could read that into the record, I'm surprised by that. Very surprised.
Thank you. All right.
Mr. Mayor?
Yeah, Mr. Kingston?
May I inquire of Ms. Gates about her comment?
Can you ask her a question?
Yeah.
Yes, of course.
Ms. Gates, were you offering that as a suggestion to change the amendment?
Well, yeah, I was supportive of this when it was an initial, you know, weeks ago when it was an initial amendment to get it out of the budget, and I didn't get support for that. So at this point, I think we worked really hard to get a budget. I'm disappointed in it that there was, you know, I put $5 million on the table that were in with TC Broadnix to try to reduce, and that was part of it. I couldn't get the support. So at this late date, I can't support it. But unless anybody wants to do more tax reductions, I'll support tax reductions.
Mr. Mayor, I'll accept the amendment. We changed the use of funds to tax reduction.
Wait, hold on. She didn't make an amendment. Mr. Caraway's asked a point of order. What?
Yeah, point of order.
What is it?
You know, it's not a proper motion that's on the table and to have an amendment to even be discussed.
So Mr. Kingston, hold on, guys. Hold on. Stop. Mr. Kingston's motion is on the floor, and it has been seconded. That's what we're discussing. Mr. Kingston, now is the microphone.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I will amend my motion to change the use of funds to tax reduction.
And I will change my second and support that.
Okay, so we have a new motion and a second on the floor. Ms. Grayson.
I second everything that Mr. Kingston just said. I keep hearing from my constituents that this is not a good use of taxpayer dollars. And at a very minimum, we should be putting these offices in city facilities like rec centers and libraries that are already there. There's no way I can support this expenditure when I think it is just money that is not well spent. We have so many other things in this city that we could be spending this money on.
Mr. Callahan.
Yeah, Mayor, I'd like to amend the motion that's on the floor to reflect $250,000 for the pilot, and then the other remaining $250,000 be used for tax reduction. And then I think we certainly should use community offices.
So you have a new substitute motion that
amending
says
his.
That now you can't amend his. It's a new substitute motion unless he accepts a friendly amendment. Okay,
you're right.
I
won't, Mr. Mayor, and I intend, Mr. Callahan, to, if this is not a successful motion, I very much hope that it will be, to make it the alternative motion that I sent you this morning.
Okay. So we have a second motion to reduce. Say it again.
I'll withdraw at this time.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Felder.
I just wanted to go back into what I have said, I think two, maybe three times. One more time. I'm speaking for Councilman Kevin Felder for District 7. One more time. I intend to have my district office in a city facility. I do not seek to use funds for a private facility. For the record, one more time. Thank you.
Mr. Narvaez.
I would be very well in favor of reducing the tax rate with this $500,000. I think it's, especially after having gone out, I'm in my district all the time. I always joke that I have seven district offices all across my district, which is 40.8 square miles. I am, you know, in restaurants. I support local businesses. And I go out into the community. I meet people at their homes. I meet people where they're at. And I've never had a district office. I'm not worried about a district office. And my constituents overwhelmingly do not want us to spend this money on this. They would rather us spend money on other things like senior transportation, and anything different where they're getting a benefit for their quality of life. So I would support the motion to reduce the tax rate at this time.
Thank you. We'll take a record vote. Let's just explain. We are voting on Mr. Kingston's amendment to strike the $500,000 for offices and put it as a tax rate reduction. Is that clear, Ms. Reitz?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you. When I call your name, will you please state yes if you're in favor or no if you're opposed? Mayor Rawlings?
No.
Mayor Pro Tem Carraway?
No.
Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Medrano?
No.
Councilmember Griggs?
No.
Councilmember Thomas?
No.
Councilmember Callahan? Councilmember Narvaez?
Yes.
Councilmember Felder?
No.
Councilmember Atkins?
No.
Councilmember Clayton?
No.
Councilmember McGue?
No.
Councilmember Kleinman?
Yes.
Councilmember Grayson?
Yes.
Councilmember Gates?
Yes.
Councilmember Kingston?
Yes.
With 6 voting in favor, 9 opposed, the amendment fails.
Thank you. Mr. Kingston.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. At this time, I'd like to make an alternative amendment, which I sent you this morning, which is to move $250,000 out of the proposed district office pilot and fund the community prosecution's community courts program with that money.
Second.
We have a motion. Second.
The issue here is with $250,000, the manager's proposal is that that would fund the personnel portion of the district office proposal and require the use of existing city facilities. Pleased to hear Mr. Felder's comments on this point. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Call the question.
I'm sorry.
Mr. Clay, did you want to say something?
I just have a question. If
yes,
I may.
Please.
May I ask Mr. Kingston?
Please.
When we were in committee the other day, we had talked about homelessness and trying to apply more money, you know, towards that coming out of the stabbings downtown. And Adam could answer this as well. With the community prosecution angle of it, could that be applied towards that as far as apply more prosecution towards this homelessness issue? Because if so, I think I'd be in support of that.
That's exactly what community courts do, Mr. Clayton. They are specifically intended to be improvements for quality of life, and they take burden off of DPD by addressing issues such as quality of life problems caused by homelessness.
Thank you. Please call the question.
Mayor Rawlings?
No.
Mayor Pro Tem Carraway?
No.
Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Medrano? Councilmember Griggs?
Yes.
Councilmember Thomas?
No.
Councilmember Callahan?
Yes.
Councilmember Narvaez?
Yes.
Councilmember Felder?
No.
Councilmember Atkins?
No.
Councilmember Clayton?
Yes.
Councilmember McGue?
No.
Councilmember Kleinman?
Yes.
Councilmember Grayson?
Yes.
Councilmember Gates?
Yes.
Councilmember Kingston? With 8 voting in favor, 7 opposed, the amendment passes.
Thank you. Any other amendments on the floor?
One last one, Mr. Mayor. I need a clarification first, Mr. Manager. The current budget, as you have proposed it, increases the Youth Commission budget by $75,000. Is that accurate?
Yes, Councilman.
Okay, thank you. The motion then is to reduce that proposed increase by $60,000, and I apologize for the typo on my memo, and move that $60,000 into transportation for senior services. We have a lot of seniors requesting transportation to get to the new senior services that we're going to be rolling out at the rec center. The increase of $15,000 for the Youth Commission will be enough to fund an extra trip for the kids, should they be able to even take it. The $75,000 has never been requested by the Youth Commission. It's far in excess of what they need. Their budget was completely adequate for what they were doing. And so I think that it would be just giving them an extra 15K is like saying, here, take one more trip. Giving them an extra 75K is like, I honestly don't think they could even figure out how to spend it. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Carraway.
Thank you, Mayor. And now that we've gotten beyond the other stuff, I'm glad people showed the African-American community what we think about them as it relates to accessibility. I want to say that, and I want folks to understand it. So just understand what vote went down a moment ago. Now, you know, it's okay, though. It's okay. But the southern sector of this city will remember.
Point of order, Mr. Mayor.
You can point out all
order,
you
Mr.
want.
Mayor.
Mr. Narvaez. Point of order, Mr. Narvaez. What?
I thought we were talking about the youth commission.
I am talking about the youth
Thank
commission.
You. Mr. Narvaez, I will, if that's the point of order.
Yeah, that's the point of order.
Yeah, I am talking about the youth commission. Because now you just sit around and want to cut the youth commission. Now you want to cut back on something that we've already promised these kids, the future of this city, just to try to show and win and play politics around here to run for mayor. Well, I'm going to tell you, whoever's running for mayor, you're going to need the southern sector, and we're going to need it to pass the bond as well. And to slap the southern sector in the face, as has happened this day, it has done it. It has done it. Well, I want folks to understand it, because I want you to go to sleep with your brains and your heart tonight to understand that we are fighting to try to do things that are right for the folks and for us to have for us to have voted to put money into a budget and that the law office already has on the seventh floor to community prosecutors, because that falls under Larry Castro. But because of evilness in this city that is still yet to surface, but it has surfaced today. And now we're going to talk about the Youth Commission. Sandy Grayson and I, we found the money for the Youth Commission to do greater things for this city. But you want to smother it under the auspices of the seniors. There are so many other ways we could have done it, but it sounds good. It's a great sound bite, hope for the seniors, as much as we've tried to do and we continue to do for the seniors. But you want to continue to smother. You wonder why K2 is out here. You look at how Mary is performing on that commission right now that we have, and she's only 17 years old. She has more intelligence on that committee than anybody sitting on that task force. But yet we want to cut it short and cut them short and laugh about it just to have a victory at this horseshoe. A selfish victory. A selfish personal victory. And it pisses me off.
Mr. Carraway.
I want you to understand that it pisses me off.
Mr. Carraway, I'm not going to let you.
All right, I won't be that no more. But you understand how mad I can get about it. So, you know what? Y'all that's safe and want to vote like that, keep on voting like that. God got our back. That's who has our back against every single attitude and self agenda that's going on here. So y'all let the kids suffer. And then you wonder why things... You wonder why they go into school in Plano and everywhere else and not in Dallas. Because we're showing them today that we don't give a hoot about them. They just a kid. 15,000 is enough. That's like a kid going into the candy store and wants some. But you say, well, you can't have these competitions. You got to get these right here on sale. If we're going to half do something, then half do it. But it's not going to be half done with me. I will stand up all the way, and I will be public, and I won't care what anybody says. The right thing is the right thing to do. And the selfish thing to do is to try to have these ridiculous agendas of control. That's why things are happening as they happen over like they are, because the very thing that we took down was because of control. Because we're tired of being controlled. We do everything for District 14. And Mr. City Manager, I want, and Ms. Secretary, and Ms. Everybody, every item that comes up for District 14, henceforth, I want it pulled, Ms. Secretary. I'm pulling it publicly right now for individual discussion. Because every single week, we have 30 items on District 14. And we just pass them just because they're downtown. Well, that's not going to happen anymore. It's not going to happen. Two can play this game. And we can start looking at things more closely that are being spent that you all are talking about that maybe might not be just what it ought to be. Minority contracting, everything is being built downtown in District 14, but we don't stop it.
Stand the subject.
I'm just letting y'all know I'm mad stand as I subject. Can ever be. I'm mad, but I tell you what. It's going to be all right, because I'm going to still vote for the right things to vote for the city of Dallas. Let me just say that, in all of our districts. But if y'all want to play tit-to-tat, then I can play it too. I know how to play cards. I know how to play cards.
Mr. Carraway.
And I can play them right. And I would not be speaking up for my community if I just continue to sit here and let y'all do everything. We do everything in Bishop Arts. We do everything in Deep Elm. We do everything in West End. We do everything out in the north. We build $2 million dog parks with showers out in the north on Preston. And then when it comes down to our kids and servicing our constituents, we got to be budget conscious. You can play it any way you want to play it. Let's play the game.
Thank you. Mr. Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I have a question regarding senior transportation. We were just briefed on this in the Human and Social Needs Committee. Are we providing currently, based on the funding and the contract, are we providing enough rides currently at the amount that we've already contracted for?
We're going to need to have somebody come help answer that question regarding the senior transportation.
And while I wait, I'll talk. Senior transportation is critical. Senior Affairs is part of my committee that I chair. We've had this conversation about we're providing funding but not enough rides, but yet still. The recommendation is funding going to senior transportation. I would appreciate in the future if there's consideration for redirecting funds. If conversation would take place on this particular issue, because we were briefed early on it, and I see someone's here, so if you could answer that.
Yes, I'm Sherita Johnson, the interim director of the Office of Community
You're
Care.
Speak up a little bit. Thank you.
And we could just leave that mic on.
I think it's on.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Yes, I'm Sherita Johnson, the interim director of the Office of Community Care. Currently, we provide medical transportation for seniors. We have approximately $248,000 in this year's budget and an additional $250,000 for next year's budget. And that's to provide only medical transportation for the seniors.
It appears that that's what this request of funding is for, an additional funding for that. Are we currently, when you look at the provider, the contractor, and the amount of rides that they're providing, we know what the goal was, and we know how far below the goal we're at this time. What do we foresee that with the increase of funding that we would be able to meet that goal at a minimum? Do you see this money being necessary, is basically what I'm saying, to provide the transportation that we need to provide? We've got Dallas Fire Rescue that's doing health care. And so I'm really curious if we need this money, if this money is really needed specifically to continue to provide transportation for seniors.
At this point, I would say yes, the money is needed. The additional funding will allow us to assist about 2,000 more rides for those seniors next year. So the money mm-hmm. is definitely needed, and we have numerous seniors that call us mm-hmm. needing rides.
Why is our contractor not meeting the goal currently? I mean, it would be different if the goal that was set was even close, but it's not. And so I can't say with confidence that more money going to this contractor would meet our goal. And so that gives me some concern. So thank you. I appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
So for that reason, I even though I'm a big advocate of especially transportation for seniors, because we have so many seniors who are aging, who are dealing with more and more health needs and don't have means of transportation. But I just don't think at this time this would be appropriate. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Ms. Gates.
Thank you, Mayor. Didn't we increase the youth program by taking $5,000 out of our council budgets? Isn't that where we found the money, Mr. Carraway?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I'm going to be supportive of leaving it there, and thank you for leading the program and leading our youth and trying to grow this program. Thanks.
Ms. Grayson.
Thank you, Mayor. I'm always a huge supporter of senior needs. However, we had a contract with this contractor to provide these rides a number of months ago. We put that contract in place. And I said at the time, and it was for, I guess, over $200,000, so what, $248,000. I said at the time that I wanted our staff to enter into negotiations and discussions with DART, who should be providing this senior transportation. They do some. They don't do enough. And I had said at the time that when this contract came back, I was probably not going to support it because I feel as though DART ought to be providing those rides and we should not be spending our city money. We give DART $260 million a year. I think they can provide senior transportation. And we can spend this money on a different need in the city of Dallas. I'm very supportive of the fact that seniors need rides to doctor appointments. DART ought to be providing these rides. And what Ms. Johnson just said was, we've already budgeted in next year's budget $250,000 for this. And I have said repeatedly that money should not be spent on that. DART should be providing this. So I would like to ask our staff, what is the status of the negotiations and the discussions with DART about having them provide this senior transportation?
Let me get back with you. To my knowledge, we have not started those negotiations, but
that was supposed to be like 6 months ago.
Okay. Wait just one moment. Let me check with my staff.
It's Councilwoman Grayson. As far as the staff level conversation, we'll get you some response on that. I have talked with their executive director about the need for looking at how we might be able to accomplish that given some of the constraints that they have.
What kind of constraints, Mr. Manager, do they have to not provide transportation for seniors when that's their business?
Well, it's their business to provide mass transit. They do offer some paratransit and other types of services, as do a lot of other cities. But I think their guidelines require certain types of requirements to allow people to participate in that paratransit, I think, for free. And so I think what we fund, as I understood it when we had the conversation before, is the people that do not meet the medical condition and or need to have that service provided for them at the cost that I think DART utilizes to deal with how they do it. So I can get you more information on that, but this is not a contract at this point, so that conversation is still ongoing.
What's not a contract?
You spoke about before we voted on a contract.
We did. We had a contract.
I agree.
Yes.
And we voted on that, and I said, and I think you said, by the time we come back next year, you'd like to see some progress in advancing that. This item right here today, I think the amendment, is related to putting more money on top of what we're already doing.
Right.
We've not come back with another consideration for you, and it was my hope at that time we'd have some better news to report and or share with you how we would address it going forward.
Well, but the reason I have – I'm sorry, I didn't mean to
interrupt you.
That's
fine. I'm just saying that's kind of where we are right now.
Talking to DART, you need to give yourself lots and lots and lots of time because they are very difficult to talk to and get a response. I wrote a letter to Gary Thomas 2 weeks ago asking him for something. I have yet to get a response. So I just want to make sure you know that you need lots of time to talk to them. And I also believe that unless they have federal money that they're using for that paratransit program and they have strict guidelines from the feds, then they can
they can determine what guidelines they use. And I think what they're doing is being unnecessarily restrictive. So I just want to make sure that we address this. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Care. No, you've already talked. We're going to get you back again here in a second. Mr. Kleinman.
Thank you, Mayor. To Ms. Grayson's point, this may be something that DART needs to be doing, but also I heard a comment that most of these rides are for medical appointments, and it seems that's the county's responsibility. So healthcare in the county is up to Dallas County. So it's like we have two agencies that probably could be providing the service, and I'm not so sure why the city of Dallas needs to be. So we need to be figuring out if DART can do it and if the county can fund it. Thanks.
I am curious. So has the county been approached on taking care of the medical needs of our senior citizens? Is anybody?
I'm not sure that we've had Mr. Brodnick. Mr. Mayor was asking if we've approached the county regarding medical transportation.
I'm just curious. I mean, have they said, no, we're not going to support our senior citizens from a medical standpoint? If they have, let me know, okay? And if I assume we would be writing a letter, just like Commissioner Price just wrote us, we need to kind of keep going back and forth, okay? And just please, so I would ask the city manager to be inquiring of the county about their role in providing medical relief for senior citizens. I think it's a good question. Mr. Atkins.
Lee just answered my question.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Callahan.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. You're absolutely on target with what you said and certainly what Ms. Grayson and Mr. Kleinman said. I've been part of discussions in committee meetings numerous times asking why isn't the county and why isn't DART stepping up their responsibility. They have a thing as well. I don't understand why we're not getting the answer. Staff, they nod and they're writing copious notes, but we never get any response, you know, back when we asked them to get those answers for us. So it's high time that we do have that, and I certainly would put a letter my name on a letterhead and send it over to the county and to the county judge. But we certainly need to get those answers, and I would like to see Mr. Broadnecks, along with all of our council, send a letter over with requests, because this has gone on 2 or 3 years since I've been here, and it just doesn't make sense that we're not getting a response.
I'd like to
Ms. Gates.
I think this is something we could take up on quality of life and look at all the different quality or the two different our health and human resources, those, and kind of come up with a list of everything that the county could be partnering with us. I know I read in the paper today, I think they had a greater growth than we did at City of Dallas even. I think theirs was exceeded 7% and they didn't reduce their budget at all. So I definitely, we need to look to make sure that our health and human resources are being utilized to the fullest for our residents here. So, and the county needs to be a partner at the table.
They definitely have money for raises. So, Mr. Carraway.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. And let me say I'm a little bit more settled now to my council. I hate to get out of line. So I'll just say a public apology to some extent. But I meant most of what I said. Y'all know that. We're talking about the seniors and transportation. No one needs transportation more than our seniors. And I think it should be a discussion better served once we get to our other committees and figure out how we can bring in the council or the county and other entities and not have that burden. DART has so much revenue. We got 25 pink buses running around here that are just picking up nobody and just circulating. You got drivers, they got gas, they have nobody riding them, and plus they're free. There are ways how we can cut a bus or two and send that over, take that money and put it somewhere. Since we're looking at where we can find and take money from, let's start taking a look at some of these other things and some of these other budgets and figure out how we can find this money. But let's not lie to the children. I want to make sure we understand that. let's take care of who will be in the future taking care of us. Let's make sure that we're doing the quality things that we can do, and not find an easy way out and cut people short that are already being cut short. Let's just be cognizant of that, and you know, just keep the children and the seniors first. We're not the child, and we're not the senior that's the senior right now. We're in the middle. We got to make decisions for the upcoming and those that need to have it. When we get to talking about things, seniors want to go to a restaurant and have steaks. That's why we put more money into the dental program, because they have an opportunity to want to eat a salad and things just like we want to have and eat. So there are a whole bunch of things that we need to consider with the seniors. But other people, other agencies need to step up to the plate with us, and that's something that this council should come to grips with, and we should figure out, mayor and council members, how we can better serve seniors in transportation. If we're going to make a decision, let's make a good, long-range, long-standing decision. Let's not make a selfish decision to stop the progress of something just to make a public statement and do a resume, a preparation for a resume, because we want to take it to another height. And here's a good sound bite to go along with an upcoming campaign. Let's not do that. When we're going to take care of the seniors in transportation, then let's take care of it. If they need $1 million, if they need $3 million, let's figure out how we can do it and do it right. Let's not nitpick. Let's not nitpick and take the candy from the children.
Thank you. Call the vote.
Yes, when I call your name, please state yes if you're in favor, no if you're opposed. Mayor Rawlings?
No.
Mayor Pro Tem Carraway?
No.
Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Medrano?
No.
Councilmember Griggs?
No.
No? Did you? Yes, thank you. Councilmember Thomas?
No.
Councilmember Callahan?
No.
Councilmember Narvaez?
Yes.
Councilmember Felder?
No.
Councilmember Atkins?
No.
Councilmember Clayton?
No.
Councilmember McGue?
No.
Councilmember Kleiman?
No.
Councilmember Grayson?
No.
Councilmember Gates?
No.
Councilmember Kingston?
Yes.
With 2 voting in favor and 13 opposed, the amendment fails.
Thank you. We will now take up the budget with the one amendment item that was passed. Please, Ms. Gates.
Is that number going to change then since? Well, no, we didn't.
It's a balanced budget.
Okay,
it's
still balanced. Okay.
So, Ms. Gates.
A record road is required by local government code. I move approval of agenda item number 3 with the following changes requested by the city manager. Increase water utilities operating budget number 0100 from $666,477,402 to $667,471,388 to correct the effect of the vital statistics amendment and its impact on the water utilities budget. Decrease stormwater drainage management capital construction fund number 0063 from $16,592,773 to $8,272,053. And add flood protection and storm drainage facilities fund number 2U23 at $8,320,720 to separate stormwater bond funds from stormwater capital construction funds.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
Second.
Got a motion and a second. Discussion, Ms. Gates. Mr. Carraway?
Yes, Mayor, I would ask Mr. Kingston, if he wouldn't mind, to read his amendment back into the motion, back into the minutes for the record, that one that's being changed in this particular budget.
Let me, and
I'd ask him to read it.
Well,
for clarity.
Mr. Kingston, do you want to read that motion back? Mr. Kingston?
For the record.
Yes or no?
I don't think I'm happy to do whatever would make things clearer. I don't think I quite understand what's
It probably, you just ask, yes or no?
Is Ms. Gates' motion on the table inclusive of the amendment that
was
just passed?
Yes, it is. Yes,
okay.
It is.
Well, then I think it's clear. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
So you say no. Okay, thank you.
Mayor, point of order. Yeah. I need clarification
okay, we'll
on the motion.
Okay, we'll get the clarification from Ms.
No,
Rice.
I want to clarify. I'd like to get it from the person that made the motion.
I got it. He's denying that request.
But he can't deny it. Point of order. I need to hear it, Mr. Lawyer. I get a lawyer's opinion. I just ask for clarity, not from the secretary. I would like to have clarity from the gentleman that made the motion. That made the amendment. Is that not fair, counsel, to hear from the motion, the maker of the motion?
Mr. Carraway, we cannot force people to talk in this
council.
Well,
he's the one that went and got the community all upset.
I got it, and he said he will not do what you're asking.
So now he wants to turn his back on the community that he faked like he was serving in the beginning.
All right. Clarity, let's read the motion and the way it passed. Mr. Johnson, do you have that?
Yes, let me read the item, and then I'll read the amendment.
Need to read the item. Just read the motion.
She doesn't have to read it. I withdraw that motion.
Okay,
I withdraw that request. You don't have to read it because I want the folks to see who made a motion that threw the rock and hit the hand.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Carraway.
On
all right, Ms.
Camera.
Johnson, Ms. Carraway. Ms. Johnson, call okay. for a vote.
Yes, if you're in favor. No, if you're opposed. Mayor Rawlings?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Carraway?
Yes.
Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Medrano?
Yes.
Councilmember Griggs?
Yes.
Councilmember Thomas?
Yes.
Councilmember Callahan?
Yes.
Councilmember Narvaez?
Yes.
Councilmember Felder?
Yes.
Councilmember Atkins?
Yes.
Councilmember Clayton?
Yes.
Councilmember McGue?
Yes.
Councilmember Kleinman?
No.
Councilmember Grayson?
Yes.
Councilmember Gates?
Yes.
Councilmember Kingston?
Yes.
With 14 voting in favor, 1 opposed. The item passes.
Thank you. I'll take item 4. Ms. Gate, read the item first. Ms.
Item 4 is an ordinance setting the tax rate at 78.04 cents per $100 valuation, which includes 55.80 cents for the general fund and 22.24 cents for the debt service fund, and levying ad valorem taxes for the City of Dallas, Texas for fiscal year 2017-18. This item does require a record vote, and state requires a vote of 9 members voting in favor for adoption.
Thank you, Ms. Gates.
Agenda item 4, the ordinance setting the tax rate. Record vote and 60%, or 9 votes, is approval is required by the Texas Property Code, Chapter 26.05B. I move approval of agenda item number 4 in accordance with the Texas Property Tax Code by making the following motion. I move that the property tax rate be increased by adoption of the tax rate of 78.04 cents per $100 valuation, which is effectively a 4.11% increase in the tax rate.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Mr. Kingston.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The amendment we passed, does it change the – is there any need to change the tax rate based on that amendment?
No. So a balanced budget. Balance.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Call the question.
Yes, if you're in
– I'm sorry. You had some comments?
Yes.
I didn't hear that. I'm sorry.
Okay. I just want to – for a point of clarification, this is an increase because – the values went up and people are paying more taxes, but this is actually a decrease in the tax rate. The way it's read, which this it's perfectly honest and clear, but it's a little confusing because the overall we had a growth in the tax rate. With this motion, we are actually lowering the rate, not as much as a lot of us fought for during the process, but this was a consensus.
The opposite, Ms. Gates.
What?
You misspoke. You said it's an increase, but yet it's an...
people will be paying more taxes, so we'll see an increase in their bill, but it's a decrease in the rate from last year. We've reduced the rate, not as much as some of us had fought for, but we did have a small decrease in the rate with this motion. Is that right?
Absolutely, yes.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Rice.
Thank you, Mr. Kleinman.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. And I do appreciate the fact that we are having a nominal decrease in the tax rate. But I would really encourage staff to start the budget from the effective tax rate in the future. It is really much more honest with our citizens to say we're going to charge you the same amount of money we charged you last year, and then we're going to add these enhancements to the budget. It's just really disingenuous to propose a hugely bloated budget and then just put out very high-profile items for tax reduction that many council members just can't really stomach, you know, reducing certain areas when there's huge amounts of money in other areas that are not even getting addressed for savings. So I would encourage next year, and actually that's one of my proposals for the FMPC, is that we start from the effective tax rate, and I would be happy to discuss that with my colleagues further in the future.
Thank you. Mr. Callahan.
Yeah, just wanted to underscore something he said that made me think. I look back, and I think when I got here in 2013, we have generated about $250 to $300 million of more money in these budgets. And so we've had more money to spend, but yet we still seem to have a real difficult time balancing our budget every year. I recognize there's new demands on that money, but that point needs to really be underscored, how much new money we've had in the 4.5 years since I first came here. And in spite of that, we still struggle, and we have to ask our citizens to pay more money. And while we're trying to relax the rate, I'm certainly in favor of that, but we're going to have to somehow find a way to get a handle on that, or the people that live in this city are going to find a hard time staying here and paying their taxes. Thank you.
Thank you. You know, just as a point of information, Ms. Reich, the tax rate in 15-16 was what? And we are at now 0.7804, right?
That's right. It was 79.7. 79.70 per $100 in valuation.
Okay. In 2 years, it's come down that much. So, okay. All right. Thank you, Ms. Gates. Did you have some?
Yeah, thank you. So, yeah, we've dropped it from 79.70 to 78.04. So, more than a penny. Yeah, over the 2 years. So. But again, to Mr. Kleiman's point and to Mr. Callahan's, we need to direct the city manager not to build a budget to the current tax rate. And we can do that by amending our FMPC or by the process. If you let him know, he has shared that with me, if we let him know, don't build it to that, he won't. And then I think it'll be an easier process for us to continually decrease that rate over time while we're having growth. It's something we should be able to do for reasonable growth in our budget. Thanks.
Thank you.
Record now. Vote. State yes if you're in favor, no if you're opposed. Mayor Rawlings?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Carraway?
Yes.
Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Medrano?
Yes.
Councilmember Griggs?
Yes.
Councilmember Thomas?
Yes.
Councilmember Callahan?
Yes.
Councilmember Narvaez?
Yes.
Councilmember Felder? Councilmember Atkins?
Yes.
Councilmember Clayton?
Yes.
Councilmember McGue?
Yes.
Councilmember Kleinman?
No.
Councilmember Grayson?
Yes.
Councilmember Gates?
Yes.
Councilmember Kingston?
Yes.
14 in favor, 1 opposed. The item passes.
Thank you. Item 5.
Agenda item 5, a resolution ratifying the increase in total property tax revenues reflected in the fiscal year 2017-18 budget.
Thank you, Ms. Gates.
All right. I make a motion for agenda item number 5, the resolution ratifying the increase in property tax revenues. Per the local government code, adoption of a budget that will require raising more revenue from property taxes than in the previous year requires a separate vote of the governing body to ratify the property tax increase reflected in the budget. This vote is in addition to and separate from the vote to set the tax rate. I move approval of agenda item number 5.
Thank you. Motion is second. Any discussion? Hearing that, all in favor say. What? Well, please, excuse me, Mr. Kleiman.
Dang.
I didn't see your name.
So this is a very interesting item because it's the legislature trying to make sure we have belts and suspenders to let the whole world know that we're going to raise their taxes. This will be the third time today we're going to vote on a tax increase. But I just find it humorous that as much as we try to tell our citizens we're going to raise their taxes, and I think we're pretty clear about it, unfortunately, we don't have citizens coming down screaming against it. So I understand where my colleagues stand, and I understand why the city manager continues to raise taxes, because that seems to be the will of the council. But colleagues, I mean, here you are voting directly on a tax increase. As they used to say in high school, it will be on your permanent record. So I will be voting against this item.
All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? We got one opposed. Motion's carried. We will take up our the rest of our speakers, Ms. Johnson, while you're there, and then we have one executive closed session item.
Thank you. We did have one cancellation, but we will continue with our open microphone speakers. The remaining speakers are Jan Gentry, Kathy Gainier, Jenny Gilchrist, and Cynthia King. Let me recite the speaker guidelines. Speakers must observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the City Council. Any speaker making personal, impertinent, profane, or slanderous remarks, or who becomes boisterous while addressing the City Council, shall be removed from the room. Individuals are allowed 3 minutes to speak. You'll notice the time on the monitor in front of you. When your time is up, please stop and address any comments to Mayor Rawlings. If you have any handouts, go ahead and hand it to the officer to my right. Your first speaker, Jan Gentry. Not present. Kathy Gainier. Are you Jan Gentry? Okay. Kathy Gainier. Not present. Jenny Gilchrist. Not present. Cynthia King. You may come forward.
Petition. Cynthia and Willis. Cynthia Willis.
Cynthia Wills canceled.
Okay. Please, Ms. King.
Yes,
thank
sir.
You.
Good morning, Mayor.
Good morning.
Mayor Rawlings, I've been waiting to meet you, sir. So what I'm here for, my name is Cynthia King. I just moved from Los Angeles, California. And I'm here for the voice of my niece, Siobhan Randall, the 13-year-old girl that was kidnapped out of Lancaster and found murdered at 2208 East Keys Boulevard. Sir, first I want to say thank you for having me in your presence and your honor with all your important council members, women and men. Thank you so much. Thank you. I feel very honored. What I'm asking, sir, is that 2208 serves no purpose, sir. And the family, my niece who I spoke to last night, she's also asking, who is very, very still traumatized, sir. She's having a difficult time just to go from day to day. What I'm asking, Mr. Rawlings, is that you please grant us the honor to demolish this house. I understand that you guys want reformation, but this is not part of reformation. It's too much traumatic experience that happened in this house. Myself, I wouldn't even send my grandson in that house to even try to be educated. I understand that Mr. Carraway, he's fighting for the youth to have a safe place, to be able to grow in a productive manner. Mr. Carraway, I want to thank you, sir. I want to thank you. But I want to say that that house will not be conducive to any child. I'm a drug and alcohol counselor. This is what I do. And professionally, I can really say that that house is not going to be productive. So myself and my family, we're fighting for this house to be demolished, Mr. Rawlings. And we just kindly asking and respectfully, sir, we saw what the city has done. The city has went in there, they cleaned up the lawn, they repainted the house. They even added new boards, Mr. Rawlings. But that's not the work that we need so we can move on with our life. We're still grieving. We'll never stop grieving. This is a very painful thing right here. It could have been any one of you guys and women's children, but it was our baby. And as we wake up on a daily basis, Mr. Carraway, we have to see this God-forsaken house. And this house turned us up. And I went out to the house day before yesterday, Mr. Rawlings.
By the mic so we can hear you.
Yes, sir. I went down to the house day before yesterday, Mr. Rawlings. And your friendly Dallas police officers, they approached me, five of them in the car. And they told me I could not be on that property, sir. And what I want to say is, well, they found her on that property. And they brought beautiful, beautiful memorandums from all over. And I want to thank everyone. They brought all those beautiful stuffed animals.
Thank you so much. Let me ask a question.
Yes,
okay.
Sir.
No, not of you, of our city staff. Can somebody come to the mic and tell us the status of this house? Thank you for your comments.
Yes, sir.
Now, I want an official.
No, this is official.
Okay.
All right. Let me just say, and I'm talking to you. The DA's office and the United States Federal Department, they instructed us not to fool with the house, not to tear it down, because DA Faith Johnson is still doing an investigation and the federal government, okay? But they did give us a couple of weeks ago the permission finally to go and to cut the yard and to do the things that we've done. We will make a decision and we'll accommodate.
I guess my question is, who owns the house and are there liens on the house from the city, Mr. Brodnix? Okay?
Because they told us we couldn't miss it.
I know, I got that. Okay. But I just want to know the state. Mr. Fortune, do you know this?
I do not know the answer.
Who knows this?
Okay,
Mr. Swickett.
The home is privately owned, and yes, there are weed and.
Who owns the property?
I'm not sure. I'm at liberty to provide a name.
I'm sorry. So, do we have a? Is an issue to knock the home down from? Forget about the DA's office.
Okay.
But from a legal standpoint, we haven't approached the owner yet.
Yes, we have.
Yes, we have.
And will they sell the home?
She's in the nursing home.
Okay.
Well, she did give consent to demolish the home. We were prepared to do that when the prosecutors and
Thank
the federal
you.
Prosecutors
That's what
stepped
I wanted
in
to
and
answer.
Said,
okay.
Do not.
So we're moving down the path. We just have to do the right legal things. There you go. Okay? Thank you. Receive advice from and consult with the city attorney on the following matters described on today's agenda, legal issues related to panhandling. So we'll go closed session, and then we've done our speakers, so we'll just open up and close the meeting. So thank you.